Welcome back.
Welcome back. I know it's been a while.
Here we
It's
are on a Sunday.
here we are on this. I don't know if that's too much personal information, actually.
I don't think it's
The
very personal.
days of the
Everyone
week, you know.
goes through the days of the week, I think.
I don't.
I mean, I think the best part about recording on a Sunday is it's kind of curbing my Sunday scaries.
You know what's another name for that?
What?
The 60 minutes blues. Like when
Oh.
people would he when you watch that show and there's like the ticking,
Oh, that.
people would
Yeah.
associate that
Oh.
with like their anxiety of having to go to work the next day.
Seriously. I can just hear it in my head. All right. Do you want to jump right in?
Yeah, so this week we're discussing the show Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Which is, here's the premise. When a rising high school American football, I'm going to read it verbatim. There's something that's wrong about the way this is written, which I can jump
Yeah.
into, but I'm going to read it verbatim.
Read
When a
it.
rising high school American football player from South LA is recruited to play for Beverly Hills High, the wins, losses, and struggles of two families from vastly different worlds, Crenshaw and Beverly Hills, begin to collide. Inspired by the life of pro football player Spencer Paysinger. All right, so the show is All American. It's on the CW network. Before we go into it, what's your experience with the CW network, and do you know what it was called before?
Oh, was it WB?
It was WB, and I think maybe also UPN, because I feel like when it rebranded to CW, it took shows from both, I guess. Maybe both shows have some sort of, or they're under the conglomerate of Warner Brothers. But yeah, the
Yeah.
CW. Do you know what CW stands for?
No, I do not.
The CW stand
Oh, God.
I looked it up. The CW stands for the CW Television Network, commonly referred to as the CW. It's not clear to me what it stands for.
Oh, so it doesn't stand for
Write us,
anything.
though. Write us if you know
Yeah.
what it stands for. But yes, it replaced the WB and UPN.
The WB, that brings me back a little bit. I don't really know how much experience I have with the WB slash the CW because the only shows I can think of that maybe I watched on it was like Gilmore Girls went to CW after its an original like airing, so maybe like I watched a few episodes.
It did air on the WB originally, so yeah, it's on
Oh, it
network.
did. Like from the start? I thought it was on ABC. Maybe I'm wrong.
I feel like it was always on WB.
Well, we'll have to figure that out and clear that up for the Gilmore Girls episode. Okay, was Smallville on there?
Smallville was on there, yep.
Okay, so not that I like have a very vivid memory of Smallville and some of the other shows that were on there, but that makes me think of going to my dad's house when I was young, in like whatever time slot that was on, we were there. But we weren't really allowed to watch all the shows, or maybe only like a few minutes or something. But just like there was something going on where that was on
He's like,
TV.
I'm gonna turn on Smallville for 2 minutes. You got
I
two
don't know. I have
minutes.
to ask him.
You would have to actually be like Superman, just like speed
Yeah.
watch the whole show, yeah.
And maybe it wasn't. Maybe he just watched it and told me and my brother about it, and that's kind of like how I like equate Smallville with him.
That's kind of like this podcast.
What do you
We're
mean?
watching something and we're telling someone else about it.
Wow, it goes all the way back
Your
to
dad was the original podcaster.
I'll tell him
Your
that.
dad's Marc Maron.
Dad, if you're listening, you only get 1% of the cuts.
That's pretty good. 1% of nothing is still nothing, I'm told.
You know,
It's a deep cut.
that makes me have some bad memes, that quote right there, but
Yeah.
we don't want to get into that today. So, All
Yeah.
American.
All American.
All American beef. The All
Oh,
American
well.
store.
What's that?
I don't know. Isn't that like a store that like everything's
There's the
made in
American Girl
American?
store.
No, I want to say All American stores where everything's made in America.
Oh, so it's a store from like the past?
No, it's like a store
Or does it just
today
sell
that
those
brands.
weatherized mats for those cars?
It's like more like home decor that Americans have made and are selling.
Yeah, I'm like Central Americans, I'm sure. What's your familiarity with this show going into it? Did you know anything about it?
No, I had zero background context. I would say the only context that I had was whatever you shared with me at mm-hmm. the end of last podcast. So basically okay. that the show was about
football.
So you
knew it was about football.
Yeah. Which is interesting because this episode didn't have a lot to do with football. Like, it did, but it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't the same.
There were some football scenes in it, though.
I think
right
there was
from the start.
One football scene, right, at the beginning?
It was pretty good. I'm going to have to go back to the show when it's not football season just to get my fix.
I agree. Also, I should mention, or we should mention, that we watched season 3, episode 8. We switched it up this time.
And yes.
I looked up the episode to see when it aired, and I found something very interesting.
Let's hear it.
It aired on March 8th. 3-8. Season 3, episode 8.
That is interesting.
And the year was 2021, so it's very, very recent.
Interesting. Okay. So it's the latter half of the television calendar, right? Assuming the show started in fall. Unclear when it takes place. For a show about high school football or whatnot, I'm curious to know if most of the episodes take place during the football season, which would be the fall and early winter, or what. But it seems like the show deals in a lot more than just the game itself, so perhaps maybe it takes place year round.
It did say that it was about homecoming was coming, which is redundant for me to say. Homecoming is
approaching. When does homecoming take place? I was not that cool in high school, so I'm not sure. That's usually probably in the fall then, right?
Yeah.
Because it's usually associated with the homecoming game and all that stuff.
Wait, I have a question. And this is, I think, not getting too personal, but we know that, I'm from the East Coast generally, you're from the West Coast. Does football in high school on the West Coast go year-round, or is it only in the fall?
Yeah, it's only in the fall.
Okay. Same.
Do you have?
No, we don't have it all, or we do not have it year-round. But maybe the South does? I swear somebody does.
Well, like, practices and things like that will go into the early calendar year. Although, I'll mention, too, because of COVID, a number of L.A. area high schools did play a shortened spring season, which is good for seniors and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, that was similar to some of the East Coast school districts that I'm familiar with.
The show begins with a flashback, which is made very obvious by a very fuzzy sort of lens over it. And I thought, okay, this show is like a soap opera, I guess. And that it had a very soap opera look. I feel like very much a shout out to the classics, General Hospital and things like that. Beginning with some very fuzzy looking scenes. Unclear exactly where it took place, but I know some characters refer to that action, that past action. But what we see in that scene is basically our protagonist Spencer. He's talking to Olivia?
No. Olivia. He is talking to Layla.
Okay.
Sorry.
You know what? Why don't you actually?
No, I did not mean that. Okay.
No, I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean, I think you watched this a little more recently than I did, which is a switch.
I know. Yes. I was running late today. I'm dog sitting fans. I'm not dog sitting fans, although they might be fans of the podcast if I let them listen.
They're probably, if they hear it, there are only
for sure
fans.
Only fans. Okay, so Spencer is talking to Layla. David, mm-hmm. I will mention right here, you texted me and said there's a lot of characters on this show, and there is. But by the end of the episode, I actually got everyone's name down, I believe.
Okay, so. I wrote down everybody's name as they were happening. I guess I must have missed on this first part.
It's hard because they're talking about Olivia in the beginning, but we don't know her name. But we figure it out later.
That's right.
The switch.
Yep. Yeah, I had the subtitles on, and I saw the name Olivia, and I wrote it down. But okay.
Spencer is talking to Layla. They're
in the flashback.
In the flashback, they're in a fight. It seems I wouldn't even say a fight. It's kind of the end of a fight. And basically, Layla is saying, we're done. You told my best friend that you loved her, but we're dating
and then,
me, for hooking up with me.
Hooked up with me. Yeah, so the flashback ends. It turns out Spencer was sort of daydreaming. He was staring out into space. It's the morning of a school day. His little brother, Dylan, wakes him up. Well, he's standing, but says, like, hey, you know, what are you doing? And Spencer's like, hey, I'm going through it or whatever. Do you want to, you know, get out of here, go somewhere? And Dylan's like, I got school today. You trying to ditch? And Spencer says, no, I'll get you to school. Don't worry about it. Unclear where they go, but they end up at the high school or at some sort of field. And another character recognizes Spencer as top football player and says he's pretty antagonistic towards Spencer.
Yeah,
he tells him, like, hey, yeah, you know, you're the man. He calls him Black Jesus in cleats. It says, you call yourself the resource or something, but if they let me play, you would never get a reception. So it's established Spencer's a top wide receiver. So this unnamed antagonist says, hey, my friend here, he's gonna throw some passes. Let's do like one-on-one drills. And if you can catch the ball three times, you win. If I can shut you down three times, I win. First two reps, Spencer catches the ball. It's pretty cool football scenes, but the unnamed antagonist shuts him down three times, which is pretty cool. Spencer, or maybe Dylan, notices that when this guy's putting on his hoodie, it's for the fictional South Crenshaw High School. And Dylan says, wait, does he go to your school? Which answered my question, because I was thinking maybe he went to a different school.
Yeah.
And Spencer's like, yeah, I guess he does, but he's not on the team, which is really weird. And Spencer, which we come to learn is someone who's very oriented in his community and his school, goes to his coach. This may be skipping a little bit, but he goes to his coach. Yeah, well, I guess we could take it apart storyline by storyline.
Yeah, because I think that would make sense at this point in the episode. Because then all the storylines kind of build on each other, but they're very distinct from each other as well.
Yes. So we can unpack this unnamed defensive back issues. This kid's very good. Spencer goes to his coach, says, we need more players if we're going to compete. The coach says, I don't know if he says a third of our team is ineligible because of some new GPA requirements that the principal put in. But yeah, we obviously do need more players. Spencer says, look up this kid. It's unclear how Spencer found out this guy's name, but he tells the coach, look up Jabari Long from the school roster and see what his deal is, because he can play. Coach looks him up and says, okay, I see right here that GPA, no good.
Well, incomplete.
Spencer, incomplete. Oh, that's an important distinction.
Yeah,
incomplete.
Because that follows kind of one of the side storylines.
So Spencer's thinking, okay, I have to do something about this roster not being full. Spencer runs into Jabari in the hallway and says, look, if it's your GPA being bad, I could help you out. I could tutor you or something. He says, look, I don't need to be tutored. The GPA is not the problem. The problem is I was in juvenile detention. Basically, I was in one of these facilities, and the transcripts are taking a really long time to transfer. And the principal is the one holding that up, and there's some sort of issue there. Spencer goes up to the principal and says, hey, what, you know, can you help this kid out? He's going to be really good for the program. He did the work. You should recognize that. Principal says, I can't make exceptions for a student just because they're a football player. Spencer, again, reiterates, this is work that he's done. There's no special privilege. He needs it. And I don't know what grade they're at, but yeah, that's pretty crucial if you wanted to go to college or something.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Needs complete transcripts. And this is a very real issue. Sometimes there is trouble, the slow process for transferring records, even just between two schools, but especially between traditional schools and facilities-related schools like juvenile detention. But it becomes clear that it's the principal Carter, who's holding this up. We've heard his name at this point a few times.
He has some specific new GPA requirement for allowing players to play. Carter has a higher one, so this is putting, it's putting the coach, it's putting the team at a disadvantage. The coach, Coach Baker, talks to the principal as well and says, hey, really, you know, this isn't good for us. Principal says, yeah, I was brought in here. He mentions he's the interim principal, so some sort of turnover going on at that school, and he wants them to, I guess, have better academics, but it seems like the school isn't very well resourced based on some dialogue, so this might be difficult for the team. It doesn't necessarily seem like there are resources put in place to help these players raise their GPAs.
There is some real tension between Coach Baker and Principal Carter. And it goes back to potentially their high school days, which I'm not sure how much we know about before this episode, if you're, you know, a full-time watcher of this, viewer. But
yeah, call us right now.
Call in 555-0311.
Spencer's mom makes the point that this is probably rooted in some old dispute between the two, and I think she talks to Principal Carter. She, Spencer's mom, is maybe some sort of architect or designer or something. She gets the contract to design the garden at the school, South Crenshaw High School, which, just to let people know, it seems like it's an amalgamation of the real Crenshaw High School and maybe Dorsey High School based on the colors and things like that. She mentions to Carter, what is this rooted in? Is this some sort of like bullying thing or what? He says, no, this has nothing to do with that, but my relationship with Coach Baker is a lot worse than you're even portraying it. It was some serious event took place that left him very cold, but he maintains it's not because of that. Just like the football seems to be sort of a thorn in the principal's side.
For sure. So that last scene really with Carter and I think Coach Baker is them kind of just hanging out in a hallway talking about, Carter does eventually get the records for Jabari. He's allowed to play.
We learned something else about Jabari, by the way.
We do?
Yeah.
What is it?
I mean, it goes a little bit into the other storyline, but Jabari shows up at the very end of the episode after Spencer gives...
Oh, okay. Oh, just that it wasn't, like, why he was in juvie, that piece?
Spencer runs into Jabari and says, like, hey, I'm doing the tutoring if you want to come along. Spencer gets the idea to form a new tutoring coalition, like a peer tutoring group. Principal Baker says the three best teachers are on board to host tutoring. Spence, which goes into this other storyline with Spencer being nominated for Homecoming King, which we can get to. But he tells Jabari about it, and Jabari says, I want in. And Spencer says, I thought your GPA was, like, good or whatever. I didn't know you need tutoring. He says, no, I'm in to be a tutor. I have a 3.4 GPA, and I'm a science whiz. What was your reaction to that revelation?
I kind of saw it coming. I didn't think that the whole incomplete records, getting the records piece was going to lead to, like, a bad thing, a bad GPA. Assumed he was good in something, so...
Yeah, it seemed like it was more of, like, a fight or something like that. Because I know Spencer says, look, he was 15 years old when it happened. Do you want that to haunt him the rest of his life? He says that to Principal Carter.
Right.
So he makes the case for him, which I guess got to Principal Carter, and that's why he decided to, I mean, literally do his job. Let the transcripts come through.
So, Baker and Carter in the hallway, and Baker is basically just saying, like, hey, thanks for doing this or getting him on there. And Carter is like, oh, like, it's, you know, a conversation I had with Spencer and his mom made me realize, like, I wasn't basically...
Yeah, I don't think he names her. I think he says someone else talked to him or something, right? Oh. Did he mention the mom?
I thought he did. Maybe I'm
wrong.
He
said, you didn't change my mind.
But he said, yeah, somebody else did. Yeah. And then he brings up what the tension has been between the two, which is
which is such an odd placement.
I agree.
Yeah.
He says, hey, in like short terms, you punched me in the face in high school. And
yeah,
I
needed seven stitches and I went to the ER.
Right. And then Baker. Well,
yeah, I'm sorry. Real quick. He says two things that I think contradict each other. One was, my parents took me out of South Crenshaw because of that. You like got to go on with your life carefree, but my life was derailed. But he says, my parents took me out of this school, one. But then he says, my parents sent me to boarding school. It doesn't seem clear.
Yeah.
I mean, because usually you think of boarding school as where someone goes when they need to be disciplined. But it seems like he was the victim of a crime. I guess maybe that was his only option, though. I don't know. I don't want to read too much into that.
Yeah. And so he says, hey, you punched me in the face. I needed seven stitches. I was in the ER. It was, and he kind of goes in, he elaborates on how bad it was, this injury. And Baker is like, hey, you're remembering that wrong. Like, that's not.
Yeah, you're remembering that wrong. And this actor does a really nice job with that, because like he's making faces like. He was very confused, but not like he was lying, but like he was legitimately confused.
And I would love to know what that storyline is, like what actually happened, because I don't think that the full truth, either side has the full truth, right?
Yeah, I think we're supposed to believe Baker, but I did write on my notes, Coach Gaslights Principal? ? Because that would be the ultimate bully move, to bully someone and then years later be like, I didn't do that.
True. Very true.
That actually literally happened. I don't know if you saw, it was in Texas at a school board meeting. I think the superintendent of this district was, holding the meeting with the school board. And this guy comes up to the mic and says, hey, you and I went to high school together and you bullied me relentlessly. Do you remember this?
No.
Oh, but yeah, that guy was like, this is ridiculous. The superintendent. And, I mean, he was also being a bully in his role as superintendent, but he, like, laughed at this guy, and people, like, believe this right away, because they're like, yeah, that's how bullies react.
Right.
He ended up stepping down, but he's at the, I think he's superintendent somewhere else now.
Can I share about my high school bully that was, like, a bully to me?
Yes.
So
this is the bully cast where we talk about
bullies.
All right.
So I thought, like, for me personally, there wasn't a ton of bullies in my high school during my time. I know that.
Can we unpack that word, bully? What is? It's funny.
Nobody said it would be easy to be a kid, but growing up's tough when you think of the things you did. Everybody's always trying to show you the way and telling you to work, and all you want to do is play. And your friends want to hang, go out and have a blast, laughing and they joking at the back of the class. And you want to dance, have a good time,
relax,
sitting with your friends in your favorite dress. I'm saying
kind of mean,
like,
actually.
No, she was mean to me. No way.
I know.
No.
There's
some other people that have been mean to me that I'm okay with, but that one, she was very, very mean to me, so.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what your bullies say in high school, it only matters what you do afterwards. Come here.
I mean it. All right. So that does wrap up that storyline. Can you get us into some of these others? I think what it might be worth talking about next is the, if you can hear papers rustling, it's because I took several pages of notes on this.
I wrote my notes.
This is truly like some Lord of the Rings style analysis we're giving with all these characters. But yes, do you want to talk about the situation with Coop?
Who is Coop?
Coop is, I gather, Spencer's best friend, but they've had some sort of falling out.
Oh, I thought that was Tamia.
No, Coop. Well, Tamia. Yeah, Tamia Cooper. That's her name.
Oh, okay. The rapper as well.
She's the DJ.
Oh my gosh, I'm lost. Maybe I have the rap game stuck in my head. Yeah, I mean, I think this storyline is kind of.
Or maybe she is a rapper. I guess some DJ like reaches out to her.
Nonetheless, she's in the music industry. Yeah. It is.
She's a burgeoning artist.
It is clear that by that, I think I can wrap this one up pretty quickly because I don't think they spend too much time on the storyline, but it is important for the context, which is that Spencer and Coop, by the end, you kind of realize that they may have been like friends since they were kids. Like, that's kind of the vibe that they're going or that they have. But they've recently had a falling out, which we learn is because of another storyline, which we've already touched upon, which is Spencer is, you know, in love with one girl, but it was dating somebody else. So she, I'm
well, not dating.
I thought that they were dating though, because she says we've been together for months. See, that's where it gets a lot.
That's where I'm unclear, because I don't know if that was just a reference to him transferring to South Crenshaw, because they make clear that he was at Beverly High School, which the synopsis says Beverly Hills High School, which is an actual high school. But I think in this universe, it's called Beverly.
Nonetheless, relationship. Yeah. They have a ongoing relationship, Spencer and Olivia. So I'm not entirely sure what the...
Situationship, at least.
See, I think it's more. I thought when they...
I know it's not more, based on the conversation at the end of the episode. Maybe we have different conceptions of what constitutes a relationship.
So I guess for me, the piece that I thought that got me really convinced, because I was confused with the word hookup at the beginning, but when Olivia and Layla have their confrontation at the coffee shop, you had, like, my first boyfriend, and now you came after my other one or something. So I'm pretty sure that boyfriend was used. That's why I thought...
Interesting.
Yeah, but clearly there's an ongoing...
Okay, so this is Layla and Spencer, you're saying, have a relationship?
Some ongoing...
Oh, some sort of...
Yeah, whether it's hooking up or...
Entanglement.
Yes.
Liaison.
Maybe a little too formal. Oh, so yeah, that's, I think, with Tamia, she's clearly upset with the situation. I don't know...
Yeah.
We don't know what happens.
I wonder if she's friends with... I wonder if she's friends with...
Olivia.
Layla. Because I think it implies Layla is a musician too, no?
I missed that.
Okay.
But yeah, there's something there.
Just in sum, Coop is not happy with that situation. Nonetheless, Coop is nominated for Homecoming Queen, which they refer to interchangeably as Homecoming Queen, but also Miss... South Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. And Spencer James is nominated for Homecoming King, aka Mr. South Crenshaw. Potential conflict there. Maybe they both get named that. Someone says, oh, wouldn't that be great? You would be bestie Homecoming King and Queen. And she's like, no, that would not be great.
Yeah.
And she doesn't suspect she would win it. Well, no, I think someone else says her best friend is not. Her other friend is nominated, and she's like, Coop, you're going to win. It's in the bag. Do we want to just follow up on what happens with Coop? Do you want to do that first?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. I think so. It's kind of left at the very end a little bit ambiguous, but Coop goes to Spencer's. It's unclear whether maybe she was staying there for a little bit. She wants to return some of his
stuff. She definitely
stuff.
Knows Spencer's right. mom.
And is, like, trying to drop off some friend things, you know, friends have shared over the years.
Maybe mementos.
Yes. Yeah. And Spencer's mom is just basically says, if you want to end this...
She's like, I know that box.
Yeah.
I've given that box to someone before.
And if you really want to end this, then you need to do it, like, in person with Spencer.
You give the box to Spencer. I'm not doing it. Yeah.
But... So she leaves, Coop leaves, and then while they're, like, recording a podcast about random episodes of shows, no, just kidding.
It is a podcast. Oh, no, wait a minute. Are they recording something?
Yeah, it's like a nomination video for their nomination of Homecoming.
Right. Coach Baker mentions to Spencer, I'll just give this part, because this isn't really its own storyline, but it does impact this one. Coach Baker mentions to Spencer a few times throughout the show, I was nominated for this too. You got to give a speech, this and that.
Definitely like a protege type relationship there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He recognizes that Spencer's a leader, which comes through here. Baker says to him, he talks just about leadership in general and says, you know, what even is a king, right? As far as your nomination. Which makes Spencer think about what would that role mean to him and what could he do with it, right? Well, and we'll touch on this other storyline, but someone mentions to, I think I have it written down here, like, you need to stop being a superhero or something along those lines. And Baker says, don't stop doing that. That's your best quality. You want to help people. But he does mention, like,
sometimes I worry I'm putting way too much on you. So back to the nomination. I guess they're recording these in person at the school. Spencer gets up and talks about that question. What is it to be a king? He says, I don't know what it is, but I know I want to serve. I want to serve this school. And he says, the thing about being a king or a queen is that those qualities are in all of us.
Yeah.
And I want to help all of us find those aspects of ourselves and bring people together. And he says, ultimately, it's not about me. It's about us. Coop seems moved by this, gets up and says, I agree with what Spencer said, and it's time for me to really follow, and help me out if I'm getting this wrong, but basically it's time for me to follow what matters to me. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that sometimes being a leader means stepping aside. At this point, I'm like agreeing. I'm like, yeah, that's true.
Right.
Absolutely. Sometimes leadership is recognizing strengths in other people. And then she says, that's why I'm done. You should vote for someone else. I'm stepping aside. Don't vote for me. She leaves. She starts to leave. And Spencer says, did you just, it sounds like you just quit. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, it sounds like you just quit school and everything. And she's like, yeah, I recognize I want to chase my dreams as a musician. And I need to put aside these other things. Don't really matter. Worth mentioning earlier in the show, there's a reference to a producer reaching out to her, but not really being able to follow up on that with him. But I think she's under the impression that if she devotes herself full time to it, these relationships will start to happen, but not happening with school. So she drops out of school on camera, but very dramatic ending for her as far as this goes. So I would be very interested in seeing what happens there.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
Which is...
Yeah, I didn't either. Actually, I wonder if that's like a problem with the writing. Like, not that everything needs to be telegraphed, but... And I know there's limitations for us just sort of picking these shows up in media res, but...
I will say, though, there is this, like, one part in the beginning where they're talking about she might have to potentially miss a math test, and they're like, no, don't do that. Oh. So I think, looking back, they do set it up, still, like, there's enough there, but it's not, like, where it's not completely out of left field, but you're like, oh, I really didn't see that coming.
Yeah, okay. So they did set it up. I think I missed the math test, but now that you mention it, that does... I think I recall that now.
So I think the last storyline, and this is where it gets so complex, I don't know the best way to describe this, because I don't want to go into every character in the various like love triangles we have going on. But yeah, I will try to break it down, unless you want to take a stab at it.
You should go for it. I have notes here, but I'll...
We'll start with Spencer. So obviously Spencer and Layla have some relationship, whether it's hooking up, whether it's full-on dating, whether it's back and forth, and it's been going on for some time.
Yeah, it's been going on for some time, but clearly the apex of this happened in Vegas.
Right.
Something happened in Vegas, although they also mentioned Spencer's cabin, so maybe as a cabin in Nevada, I'm sorry, maybe it's near Vegas.
Well, you know what they say about Vegas.
Or maybe these are two separate incidents. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Yeah, but apparently not in this
right?
episode. Because that stuff comes back to haunt them. So, yes, they have... Something happens in Vegas. It comes out that Spencer and Olivia kiss. Whatever that looks like, they kiss. We don't know anything else. They kiss. Spencer's in love with Olivia. Olivia and Layla, best friends. Not anymore by the end of this episode.
Oh, yeah, they were best
friends
at some point.
So that's the one piece. And I actually think that with that storyline, besides, like, when we get towards the end, I think that's, like, the core of what I want to share before we go through the rest of the episode.
I have some notes on here. Let me know if I'm getting ahead.
Go for it. I just don't want to go to the very end yet, because I want to dedicate the last few minutes to, like, talking about that situation.
Apparently... Layla is at some sort of coffee shop,
and the
logo is like a football, a baseball bat, and a basketball, so I don't know if this is sports themed, but it's a nice coffee shop. Unclear where, but she
runs into Olivia. Olivia mentions to her that she felt strung along by Spencer. Okay, so I have on my notes, strung along by Spencer. So I guess that's like the relationship piece. But she says that she spent some time in a mental institution after she was on tour. So that's why I think maybe she's a musician or something. But she apparently has some wealth going for her. I don't know if it's from maybe acting or something. Yep. Maybe her parents are in the industry. I don't know. Vegas happens. She mentions Spencer tried to be a hero, but he ended up causing the most damage. So something happened in Vegas that maybe spurred that situation between him and her, or him and Olivia. I'm not sure. Right. I'm not sure. But she does mention her mental health.
Yeah.
It seems, I think they mentioned later that she had depression. Olivia tells Layla, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that the mental health piece is important in the storyline because it's brought up a few times, like, hey, I'm not that fragile. You could have just been honest with me. Like,
I think that's right.
Layla says that to Spencer when they have, like, a disagreement. Yep. She says it to Olivia when they're having this confrontation.
In the same coffee shop.
Yeah, in the same coffee shop, right. Which is
she's just, like, wandering around as, like, characters walk in, and then she tells them off, and then they leave.
The other piece about this, the other big thing from this confrontation we learn is Olivia went to rehab.
Yeah, Olivia has a drinking problem.
Right.
Olivia says to Layla that she wouldn't know what loyalty is, so it seems like maybe she was backstabbed. She mentions, too, that she was in rehab. So it seems like for both of these characters, there's a parallel where they're battling something, whether it's depression, addiction.
Yep.
But they each feel left cold by the other one, and maybe by people at large for not sticking with them during this challenging time. We also learn from this that Spencer went to Beverly High School.
Right.
Before Olivia was in rehab. Unclear why Spencer is at South Crenshaw. This is why I would really like to actually rewatch this show, because the synopsis is predicated on him going to Beverly. I don't know what happened to make him transfer to the school within his community. Layla tells Olivia here, you can have Spencer. I'm done with him and you.
Yeah, so let's talk. I was going to say, I want to talk about this fight scene just generally for a second. What did you think about it?
Well, I was so confused as to what was going on. I really enjoyed learning this exposition. I noted here, this was done in a very soap opera way. Because this is not how friends talk in real life as far as setting up the premise, which is really helpful for us as people who have not seen the show before, but kind of unnatural. And I imagine if you're binge watching this, hearing the plot rehashed every 20 to 30 minutes, probably irritating.
I was going to say, that's the way I wrote this criticism of this show, I think.
Yes, me too. Yeah, so she says, I'm done. So I thought it was a pretty good scene. I thought the acting was good in it. The emotion was pretty high. What are your takeaways?
I think the same. It was helpful to see this scene because it did give so much background context. I think within the show, if you were binging it, it's the same things rehashed. For us in this podcast, this episode was fantastic because it closed a lot of loops. It left things, you left wondering about things, but there was so many things that you weren't super confused about. It's teen angsty. I like that stuff sometimes. So for me, it wasn't bad. It was definitely not like the cringiest fight. I wouldn't even say it was cringy at all.
No, no. It wasn't cringe.
So I did appreciate it in terms of like just seeing the two different characters and kind of that unhealthy friendship.
Before we wrap this up, I have a few more notes, a few loose ends that I did not get to in the previous storyline, in the previous storylines. But I guess one thing that's hanging on throughout the show, and Spencer mentions this to his mom and to his brother, but it sounds to me like the school is in danger of being shut down.
Oh, I didn't catch that at all.
You didn't catch that, but
that makes sense, though.
He says something about saving South Crenshaw High School, and basically the football team is being a mechanism to get that going. So he feels a ton of pressure. Maybe that's why he transferred to the school.
I
wrote down here, right, school as a center of community, which
is
very true. It's something we've definitely learned during COVID. I have here another note. Spencer's speech mentions the other characters on the show. I wrote the annoying thing where speech only mentions a small friend group. Because if you're watching that speech and you're not in this particular group, which happens in real life, by the way. Not great speech writing. But also it's the sort of cliche thing on a show where probably a large high school feels very small, right?
Because
these are the only characters that are mentioned.
Also, very high school. I think in high school you do speech, when you have to write a speech, you talk about your friends, because that's like what...
Yeah.
So like, it does fit, but I totally do agree.
If you're running, if you need votes from the entire school, mentioning a core group, kind of exclusive. Other notes, we meet Olivia's family. Olivia is in a very nice house and has a very encouraging brother named Jordan, who is wearing an Aaliyah shirt. We're actually just recently past the anniversary of Aaliyah's death, but Olivia and Jordan's mom, pretty encouraging as well, and says maybe Olivia needs a mental health day. She's really been going through it. You disagree?
No, I agree, but I have an issue with this.
Okay. I'll wrap this up and you can let me know. Jordan says, you know, maybe, because, you know, it was going to be Twins Day, so we were both going to wear this Aaliyah shirt, but maybe I should have the day off as well to be supportive to my sister. Is this where your contention comes from?
No.
Oh.
You can finish the whole, I mean, I don't know how much you want to get into the mental health day.
Jordan takes her to karaoke, and they do sing an Aaliyah song, which I think the mom references earlier, right?
Yeah.
If at first you don't succeed, dust yourself, pick yourself up and try again. Great song.
Yeah, great song.
And they use some of that karaoke time to talk. We get the impression Jordan is friends with everyone involved, or was he dating someone?
He's married.
Oh, yeah, he's married, and... Yeah, that's reference. It's like, mom doesn't even know you're married and faked her signature to get married.
In Vegas,
so maybe,
I'm assuming.
Maybe that happened in Vegas.
Yeah, for sure. Which is just like...
All right.
That's a couple.
He's hoping it stays there.
Yeah, and it kind of just like is one of those pieces of the show where you're just like, really?
Who's he married to?
Somebody named Simone, okay. But I don't think we meet her in the episode.
We do not meet Simone.
Okay.
Go ahead. What was your issue with the mental health day?
Okay, my issue...
Are you a boomer?
No. It's not about the actual mental health day. So if you read the overview of this episode... It says, like, in this episode, Jordan and Olivia take a mental health day. And I feel like that is the least important part of this episode. I feel like every other scene, I mean, it's a good scene,
yeah,
but it's
I almost didn't even mention it.
Exactly. And I think it's important to mention, because if you read the, like, overview, that's what it is that they're taking a mental health day. And I'm like, it plays so little significance in the episode.
Yeah, it doesn't, and the mom doesn't say, like, she needs a mental health day because she's dealing with her alcoholism.
Right,
she says,
right.
The mom knows about this relationship or situationship, I guess.
Yeah.
Because people keep mentioning the breakup.
Yes.
Spencer's mom mentions it to him, like, oh, how are you dealing with the breakup? And Dylan says, which one? Right, little smartass.
Yeah, for sure.
Knows his brother is, like, seeing multiple people. That's
that
really
was
good,
cute.
Though. I thought Dylan was a great little actor.
Oh, me too.
And the writing was good there. That's very typical little kid stuff. That is the scene, by the way, where Spencer was talking about the stakes that he's facing as far as the school facing some sort of existential threat. Unclear why and unclear how having a better football team will help. I think that is what spurs the mom to talk to the principal. Because the mom says, like, you're hurting all of the kids
when you do these things. Yeah.
One more note. Well, two more notes. One I think is important. When we're learning a little bit about Jabari, one of the characters is talking to Spencer. That character mentions that the school's resource officers, which for listeners... not stateside, that typically refers to police that are embedded in the schools. So we see she mentions they're harassing Jabari. We see a school resource officer, an SRO, going through his locker, right? Maybe a random search, but he's clearly being targeted. So maybe that's one of Principal Carter's initiatives to make the school better, but in reality, making it worse.
Did you have a school resource officer in high school?
We had a police officer that would sometimes be on campus, but he didn't, his duties weren't like, you know, busting kids. He would meet with the principal or something like that. But we didn't have any SROs that were involved in discipline or anything like that. Yeah. We're very lucky. Yeah. Did you?
No, absolutely not.
I will say my senior year, they did introduce drug sniffing dogs.
Oh, we had those.
Those were not technically, in my case, they were not SROs. It was a private company that got the contract for this.
Oh, and ours was that like a local sheriff's department that would come in a few times a year and do it, which it was very
thoughtful
controversial.
Practice, in my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. A very controversial, especially because the few times that they did find anything, it was marijuana. And it was in people's cars, which I have mixed feelings on. So.
That was my other thing, too. They had the dog sniff cars. One of my friends got busted, and they called his parents. And his parents are like, yeah, he drives our car and our truck.
Oh my God.
We were tailgating this weekend, and that's why the car smelled like alcohol or whatever. Like, it's a waste of time. You know, it's a huge waste of time, and it sure was. It was a waste of time
and resources,
waste of money, and resources. The term resources comes up a lot in this episode.
I was gonna say that.
Apparently, Spencer's nickname is the resource, and I guess at some school board meeting, he referred to himself as that.
Yeah,
which is why he's teased by Jabari in the beginning, and Spencer says, "Oh, I regret calling myself the resource." Something along those lines. The other note I have here: there was a storyline that I really hesitate to mention, but apparently at Beverly High School, some kid likes this girl who brought him some baked goods, and her mom's like the coach on that football team. Not worth mentioning at all, just say boring.
Yeah, I think it's literally probably more important that you know that the one kid here was Olivia's boyfriend. Clearly they broke up because of whatever happened in Vegas.
The white kid?
The main white kid, yeah.
Okay, because there are two white kids. One is blonde, and that's the
only
reason
I
know.
Okay, about him is I wrote...
His stupid thing about the twin day?
This kid, if you watch the show, you'll know he's super blonde. He's also very, like, large, like, tough looking. And I literally wrote down, he looks like J.J. Watt.
Oh, yeah. And maybe he's, like, supposed to be... he was built like a defensive end.
Okay,
you know?
And then his name in the show is J.J.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's just me like taking leaps or if that was so intentional.
I bet that was intentional. We should mention the show is based on the life of Spencer Paysinger, who played in the NFL for several years, who went to Beverly High School. The show deviates a lot from his life because that
but it's
Spencer,
based.
The real Spencer, really was from Crenshaw, which is in South L.A., and he went to Beverly Hills High School, right? So kind of a Fresh Prince situation.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up going to the University of Oregon, playing several years in the NFL. CW execs or I don't know. But somehow this show gets made loosely based off his life. I'll note on the Wikipedia page for the real Spencer, it says, the show the show deviates from his life. For example, his real name is Spencer Paysinger, not Spencer James. So really great example of how the show deviates in that the character's name is different.
Do you know where he plays or is he still in the NFL?
No, he's retired now. He was initially with the Giants, played, and then he sort of just bounced off rosters, like maybe practice squads. But he was with the Jets for one season or one off season, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it says New York Giants, the Miami Dolphins, the New York Jets, and the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, so journeyman, NFL, the career span of an NFLer, typically not that long, but he made it. You can never take that away from him.
Well, he also won a Super Bowl champion. He must have been on the Giants when they won.
Oh, yeah. People forget the Giants won some Super Bowls.
I remember that one. That was against the Patriots, I believe, right? And like,
oh, yeah.
A long time ago. Anyways, nonetheless, we can talk about personal
football
stuff
later. I'll mention one other note about a long time ago, one of the characters says, hey, they're showing at Beverly High School. Oh, hey, they're showing some old movies from like the mid-2000s.
Yes.
and she mentions, I think, the hot chick, which I remember that.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, not that long ago in my mind, but yeah, to these characters, they're probably like 4 years old when those movies were out. If they were even born, I don't know. How old?
I don't know.
When was this show? 2018?
Yeah, I don't know. When did the hot chick come out? I've never seen it.
Probably 2004, 2005. I think it's about Rob Schneider wakes up as an attractive young woman. Anna Faris might be in that. I'm not sure.
2002 it came out. Wow. Really? Do you want to know who it was directed by?
Can he? No, go. Tell me.
A man named Tom Brady. Guess we're sticking on the whole football theme today. Wow. Not the same Tom
Brady. Yeah, man. He's so accomplished, you know. Directing movies in the off season. Those are my loose ends.
So, I want to talk just for a few minutes. I know we're getting high on.
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
Is Asher the character Jordan was with? Because there's a mention of Layla and Asher.
Yeah, that Olivia he's the one, the white guy with who gets the.
Oh, Asher's a guy.
Asher, yeah, it's like
thank you. That's what you told me.
And I think it's Asher Adams. Well, I'm sorry, Olivia was dating him.
Olivia was.
But also,
dating.
You're right. Layla was with him at one point too, because she throws that for sure.
Mm. Okay, so Olivia goes to Beverly. Layla goes to Beverly too.
I am very confused.
Yeah, so we can basically assume like the wealthier characters go to Beverly, and they make it pretty clear.
So let's talk about the end of the episode. I think that's where we're at.
So,
right?
So after Spencer's speech, probably going to win him the Mr. South Crenshaw Award. He walks off stage.
Yeah.
Olivia shows up at the end. I don't know how everyone knew that they were they were recording their speeches. Olivia shows up at the end. She says to Spencer, I didn't mean to leave you on read the whole time, or on read the all day. I'm sorry. I really want to mend this. I want to fix this relationship. So he's like, okay. And she's like, let me fix this. So she texts him right in front of him, like, hey, let's talk. He's like, oh, I'm going to wait all day to respond.
So corny.
So they clearly have some chemistry. Right. I thought that was cute.
A little corny.
And Olivia texts or something like, do you want to ride home? I think that's what she texted, and he's like, yeah, let's go. So she's driving him home, and they're talking, and she says, you know, you asked me like, what if we got together? Now I'm asking you, what if we got together, right? So he's like, are you asking what I think you're asking? And she's like, I've never been more certain about anything in my life. So it seems like this is mended. Whatever happened in that flashback, she's had some time to think about it. She values Spencer for who he is, recognizes that that was kind of a weakness for him. I think some other characters talk about, like, I still have faith in you both. And I think someone might even mention that to Cooper, right? No, I could be wrong, but someone mentions to Olivia, like, I have faith in you both. I think you two are special. So they knew each other from Beverly, and Spencer says, you know, I tried to ask you about all this in Vegas and you ran away. She says, I'm sure now. He says, can you like pull over right now? Cause I can't wait another second. I guess he wants to really be in that moment, probably kiss her,
right, yeah.
Something like that. She's looking at him with loving eyes.
They hold hands.
And they hold hands.
So can I just...
And she... Yeah.
Well, actually, you can finish.
She's not looking at the road. Crashes into a parked car. So, whoa. So that, to me, I'll get to the reveal, but I'm like, whoa, okay, that sucks, right?
What are you thinking
Then you immediately
at this
hear
point?
Sirens.
Oh, yeah, okay, you're right.
At that point, I'm thinking, like, that sucks. She's gonna lose her license or whatever. But she's like kind of like pulling at the gears in the car.
She's,
like,
she's
oh no, it's not starting.
She's freaking out.
And I'm like, whoa, is she trying to run from
That's
this?
What I thought too.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm like, this what? Is weird. What's going on?
I'm like, you know, that it's like bad, but it was a parked car.
Right.
And then she says, you need to switch seats with me.
And I'm okay. At
and
this,
he's like, what?
At this point, I'm thinking she doesn't have her license. Like, she got it taken away.
Yeah, maybe
she's unlicensed and she's gonna get in trouble.
But she says, you need to switch seats with me. And he's like, what? Why? And she goes, I'm not sober right now, and I couldn't pass a breathalyzer test, which actually is kind of irrelevant, because even if she has a little bit of alcohol, she's underage. You can't even have a little bit.
So wait, I have a question. So, is it actually said that she is an alcoholic? Because she says sobriety test, so I'm actually curious if she's addicted to a drug, because she doesn't appear drunk at all. Not saying that you can't fake it.
I think in hindsight, though, because at first I was thinking she didn't seem drunk, but now I'm thinking, what if that's a plot point? That her saying, oh, I'm into you now, Spencer, I want you now, is I'm so certain. That's actually like a drunk thing, right? Like, I don't know anything, I'm anxious. But then you drink and it's like, I've never wanted anything more than this pizza or Spencer. So he's like, what? And then the title pops on the screen, All American. Do you want to watch the next episode? Because we watched on Netflix.
Yeah.
Show ends. But I just wrote down, was drinking. Ends.
See, I am so curious, because I was under the impression the entire episode she was addicted to drugs, not alcohol.
Well, alcohol is a drug.
Well, yeah, but in society, we do separate. I'm looking up if she was addicted, what she's addicted to, because I'm just so curious.
She's addicted to Spencer, to love. She's like, I cannot pass a love test right now, Spencer. We have to switch seats. Do you think he does? Do you think he switches seats with her? Don't tell me.
No, I won't tell you. I'm not trying to read any spoilers, because I actually really do want to watch this show.
Are you going to start from the beginning?
I'll start from the beginning, but I really just want to know what she's addicted to, I guess. Yeah, it's drugs. Okay, let's talk about the episode, just generally All American heat thermometer. Like, what did you think?
Right.
I liked it. I think we both liked it. That was made very clear. We both.
Do you want to guess my?
Yeah, I number? Wrote it.
We'll say it at the
I,
same time.
Let me just read what I wrote down for it, real quick.
Sure.
For
see
yeah,
your
for
notes.
You. I got it. Ready?
One, two, three.
85. 93. Dang. Oh, we're close though. Okay.
93. Okay.
Mine?
Do you want me to guess yours?
Yeah.
1, 1, 2, 3,
87. 89. Okay. See,
we're
getting
better.
Look
at that.
At this for sure.
Getting better.
Yeah, I want to watch this show again. I like it. I like the drama in it. I don't think it's super cringy or corny. It's angsty.
No, not too melodramatic. It seemed like there were actual stakes involved.
Right. I'm excited to see how football plays a bigger role in that.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Friday Night Lights?
It's been highly recommended to me by a lot of people I respect. I saw the movie and I liked it, so I'm excited to watch the show.
The first few seasons of the show, I haven't watched the whole show, and I see some kind of cool parallels, some stuff that's not there, but there are some themes that are definitely within both. So, kind of interesting. Maybe we should do Friday Night Lights, like, more in the future, just to do, like, a quick comparison of, like, a football show from the mid-2000s to something a little bit more recent.
I'll say one thing. Football is often not filmed very well in shows.
Yeah.
Like, sports in general, it's, like, unclear what's going on. It's hard, right? Because we're so used to either seeing it in person or on TV where you get a full sense of it. And sometimes when these things are so narrative-based. I will say, though, the movie Varsity Blues, I thought they filmed football really, really well in that. And that's a great movie.
I've never seen
it. I don't know if it's great. I saw it a long time ago.
I will say from what I can remember, Friday Night Lights does do a pretty decent job of shooting the football scenes. I do want to.
The movie certainly did. You said the show does too.
Yeah, I want to talk about football for a second, because this comes at a great time in terms of, as personal as I'll get for us, is we are both avid football fans.
We've
watched a lot of
football of the college variety.
Yes, and I'm an NFL. Let me rephrase. I do not like the NFL as an organization, but I have a favorite team, and I play fantasy football as well as you. We're in a league together. We just had our draft. There's a lot of stuff going on with football.
That league is called Don't Trust the QB in Apartment 23.
That should be your team name.
Might be too many characters, just like the show.
Get the little like da-ding in there. Do you watch football this weekend? I know some college was in there. I know you watched some preseason NFL.
Yeah, I watched my alma mater this weekend.
Any just thoughts overall about football? Anything you're looking forward to in the season? Just, I don't know. I'm like ready. I'm ready for fall. I'm excited to be going to games this year. I have to wear a mask the entire time, which I'm completely okay with.
Then they're mandating. Yeah. They're mandating vaccine.
No.
Proof? No?
Nope. You have to just wear a mask the entire time. And I'm more than okay with that. I'm actually, you know, unpopular opinion perhaps, looking forward to it when it's in the cooler months.
I live in a cool air, cold place right now during the winter, and I like wearing the mask during that time. It helps a lot.
So I have no problem with that. But yeah, I'm excited. I watched a snippet from a preseason game this weekend, and it just got me really excited.
It's football is something I look forward to every year. The relationships I have with friends and family talking about our team, which in this case is a college. It's one of the more special things and one of the few things I look forward to every year.
Yeah.
Very excited. I very much associate fall with the return of football.
Yeah.
And especially college. I mean, just visually, there's so much, visually and sonically, so much going on with the pageantry, and love to see the fans, the bands, the spirit squads, cheerleaders,
the whole thing.
All kinds it's of things, whole, the uniforms.
Yeah, it's a whole production.
Just everything. It's very special to me.
I
will say, maybe it's something we could talk about, our relationship with high school football. Do you have...
Yeah,
I know you have some connection there. You don't have to go.
Yeah, no,
you can
I'm
talk
okay.
about as much or as little
yeah,
as you want.
Yeah, I will say too, one thing that me and you have also kind of bonded over is, you said it best with how special football is, but like specifically, I think the one thing I will say again, going back to the OG podcaster, apparently my dad, like that's something really special. Me and my dad watch football together.
Same.
And it's...
I watch football with your dad as well. I watch football.
Yeah,
with my dad.
It's
a lot of fun.
It is. It's just a special thing. It's something I always look forward to talking to him about, and catching a game, you know, ordering pizza, getting mad. He's really passionate about football in general, not just our team. And I think I love that so much. I've said this before. I will walk into his home and he'll have a random game on, literally two random teams, and he will be screaming at one. And you would think that was his team losing a Super Bowl,
yeah.
And it's just like, and then he'll just sit down and he'll be like, yeah, that's it. Like, he just loves the game,
yeah.
And I've taken so much of that on. We had a high school football team. I went to a very small school. Yeah, I remember going to high school football games often. I mean, it kind of dictated my fall schedule. I still to this day will wake up on certain, like, fall, that kind of the beginning of fall, end of summer, there's a certain smell. Where it's almost like it's just chilly enough to maybe close your windows
kinda
at night.
Crisp,
yeah. And I think about waking up on those Saturdays and calling my best friend who used to live, you know, 45 seconds away and being like, okay, what are you wearing to the game? What time should we get there?
Oh, walking. Your school played on Saturdays?
Yeah, we did not have lights. We couldn't do under the light games. So it's just a plain field. Usually Saturdays were football, high school football. Every once in a while it would be like a Friday night somewhere.
Yeah,
and I remember my senior year, we went to like the toilet bowl, they called it. So it was like, I don't exactly know what it was, but
very charming.
Yeah, I remember that game very vividly. And I remember one quick other thing that I'll share is one of my favorite pictures from high school football games is me with my dear friend Matt, who you know, he has the worst mustache.
Your dear friend. Beep.
Oh, so sorry. Beep. Who I just caught up with the other night. And he played. And
the other B.
I remember he was still my friend, we're still very close, but in high school, he would always let me wear his jersey, like the opposite jersey to games, which is always really, really
that's
exciting.
Sweet.
Yeah. He's a good, good B. No, I'm just kidding. He's a good guy. But yeah, what about you? Did you go to high school football games? Did you play high school football?
I played youth football. I did not grow enough to play it at the high school level because we were very good, very competitive. Okay. We produced a lot of people. But yeah, I stopped playing football in like when I was like maybe 12 or 13. But I loved that. As far as high school, I'll say I have a sister who is older than me who was in the band. We would go, my family and I would go to the games to support her and the band, but we also love football.
Yeah.
So we would watch the team. We were very good at the time. This was the late 90s. One of the players ended up going to a Division I school and won a Super Bowl with in the NFL with the Colts, Indianapolis Colts.
I did not
so
know that.
He's like a local legend.
Apparently.
When I was in high school sometime later, I would go to the games as well. I liked watching the games. One of my good friends and neighbors growing up was the quarterback. He was a year younger than me, and I had the utmost belief in him even before they put him in as quarterback. I'm like, why is he not quarterback? He should be quarterback. I know from experience. And they put him in. They were very, very good. And people from those teams from when I went and when he went and were scholar athletes at some pretty great schools, at least one player in the NFL. I used to like to write about the games. I would do like a write-up of the games on my MySpace blog.
Wow.
Probably right after watching the DVD of The Hot Chick. But yeah, I would write these up and the players really liked them.
That's awesome.
And I remember like players even telling me I should replace the PA announcer and stuff.
You would
like,
be
you should
so
do
good
it.
At that. Obviously.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. People told me I should go into journalism or broadcasting, and I guess right now I'm in narrow casting.
That's
with this podcast.
I would have loved to have done some journalism stuff. That would have been like something I would have been interested in.
I considered my thing like an alt blog because I was not in the school paper. I would
have
written
paper.
Way too many words. And I sort of had a gonzo approach to it. I wouldn't just talk about what happened on the field. I would talk about what's going on in my life.
Right.
So I would talk about my friends talking to girls and stuff by the concession stand.
Oh, yeah.
I would talk about how bad the band sounded at times and their song selection. I would talk about everything. I think people really enjoyed it. People sometimes get mad, but I spoke the truth. I did not continue any of that. I sometimes make comments online. I do keep up with high school football a little bit in the sense that I keep up with recruiting and things like that for my alma mater. But I do like to see how my high school's doing. And I have friends that coach at some high schools. So I keep in touch with what's going on there. I had one note that ended up not being a thing, but just in the beginning when they were doing that one-on-one, you know, wide receiver defensive back thing, I thought, is it possible that that quarterback was intentionally throwing bad passes?
Yeah.
But that never came up. I guess they were on the money. It's just, but I mean, I would have said that if I were Spencer. I'd be like,
yo,
no, let's have a neutral person throw the ball, you know, like. And wait, man, why isn't your friend also on the team? Like,
right,
let's get you both
right.
on. You can throw that ball.
I just also appreciated that this was about a wide receiver and not a quarterback. Different, a little bit different of a perspective.
I noted that too,
yeah.
Because that's like way too cliche to have the quarterback as, I mean, I guess, yeah, you want your quarterback to be a leader, but sometimes it's not always the case. Sometimes your leadership comes from another position. They definitely would never have the show be about like a lineman though. They wouldn't have the show about the kicker.
People don't usually have kicker jerseys.
One thing I wanted to note, what is like the long term with this show? Do you think the show will follow him in college? And if so,
I don't know.
Are they going to bring all of these characters along?
Because
that is a possibility. The school is in Los Angeles, and there are two major football programs in Los Angeles. So they could bring a number of these characters back either at school with him or at other schools. So the person this is based off of ended up going to the University of Oregon, so maybe a whole new setting for the show. I would be interested in like a Degrassi style show where he's like a freshman
and
it's
back.
Like, oh yeah, Yeah, and it's like, oh, he's nothing really, but he starts to, like, burgeon in his skills or whatnot. Yeah. I don't know. That's just me. But I am interested in watching this whole show. I thought it was good.
I will say, I did read online, there's three full seasons so far. They are all available currently on Netflix. I think we should probably put where we're watching these things in if others want to watch.
Nah.
Okay. And then also...
We should.
Yeah, no, I think we should. Because some people do want to watch it. And sometimes shows are on very specific platforms.
Well, so, the other problem with that, though, is that this we should mention this is U.S. specific.
Okay, yes. U.S. and currently we're in late August 2021. So it is available on Netflix. I did read that the fourth season has been renewed and will, I believe, air late October. So more to come.
Oh, maybe we could finish these in time to watch them as they air.
Oh my gosh. I know, that's one rule I have about TV shows that I start. I usually watch them when they're over so I can just binge it.
Three seasons is a lot, so.
So, David, I've liked all three of the shows that we've watched, but I think I like that we've done a little bit of everything. We've done a reality show, we did a sitcom, now we have more like teen drama. I want to go throwback. I want to go like to the 1970s.
Thank you. I'm glad you're mentioning throwback as something from the 70s and not something from like when I graduated high school.
I know. I can't stand those people that are like, oh my God, throwback 2014. I'm like.
But you know what, though? If older people are listening right now, they're like, the 70s isn't a throw. Well, they would just be delusional, because that is 40 years ago at this point. Like, even if, you know.
1970 was 50 years ago, right?
50 years ago. Yeah, I was thinking maybe like the late 70s.
Yeah. Too, yeah. So I found an article that says, it's from considerable.com, the top 25 TV shows of the 1970s.
Okay, so we are aiming for quality here. Although sometimes shows fall off, so maybe we'll get a bad episode.
I'm thinking maybe we do 1 through like 10 or 1 through 15 random number generator.
Ready? Let's see. 1 through 15. All right. 14.
Rhoda.
Oh, wow. That's great.
I've never heard of it.
I believe it's a spinoff of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
It is. You're right. Okay.
It is.
It looks like
R.I.P. Ed Asner, who was on Mary Tyler Moore Show and passed away today.
I just saw. Didn't somebody else from that show just... No, somebody from I Dream of Jeannie just died, I want to say.
Oh, is that right?
I thought so.
I used to watch that sometimes. I used to watch Mary Tyler Moore also on Nick at Night.
Really? That's a fun fact. Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit.
It is fun.
My shows that I watched on Nick at Night were a little bit more. I don't know.
Yeah, they were probably like Fresh Prince or something.
Fresh Prince, and then I got into like the George Lopez. Is like
George Lopez. Yeah, people have told me that's on there. That's some cool.
Friends was on there for a while, but
that sucks. The shows that were on Nick at Night when I was a kid were like from the 60s and 70s.
That's so nice.
Not from like 2 years before.
So Rhoda.
Yeah.
I hope we can find it, but I'm sure we can.
I bet it's on like Peacock or something, right? Well, what network was it on?
It was on CBS.
So maybe Paramount.
Oh.
Paramount Plus.
I'm excited.
AKA CBS All Access. I am too. I want to watch it.
Me too. I wonder if there's any people in it that we'll recognize.
Oh yeah. I looked it up. There's a lot of people that I know. So
cool.
I'm excited to see them in some earlier roles. So it's exciting. I'm really excited to watch that one.
So yeah, catch us next time when we talk about Rhoda.
Catch us next time. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yup.
All right, well, that's it for this week.
We'll
catch you next time. Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye. Come on. What would you do to get to me? What would you say to have your way? Would you give up or try again if I hesitate to let you in? To be yourself or play a role, tell all the boys I'll keep it low. If I say no, would you turn away or play me off, or would you stay up? If the friendship don't succeed, then dust yourself off and try again. You can dust it off and try again. Cause if the friendship don't succeed, you can dust it off and try again. Dust yourself off and try again.